From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. The debate over film incentives in North Carolina erupted on the public stage last year when two state representatives, Rick Catlin from New Hanover County and Chris Millis of Pender County, sponsored a bill that would fundamentally change the structure of the tax rebate. There was an immediate outcry from the film community. If the film incentive changed, advocates said, producers would go elsewhere and the industry in the Tar Heel State would die on the vine. That bill died in committee, but it was just the beginning of a series of proposals to change what film industry insiders say was a competitive package helping to set film production and spending records in the state. After lengthy negotiations and some surprise twists during that process, the final verdict from the General Assembly, a $10 million grant fund to be administered by North Carolina's Department of Commerce. At the end of this year, Secretary of Commerce Sharon Decker is leaving her post for the private sector, and John Scavarla, the current head of the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, will take the helm at Commerce. Earlier this week, I spoke with Secretary Decker, a vocal supporter of the film industry, about how the legislative conversation evolved and whether the scene in North Carolina has, in fact, faded to black.
Actually, the conversation about tax reform is the beginning of this conversation, and that's been, gosh, more than 2 years ago, but certainly more focused in the last 2 years. And I think this legislative effort has been to reduce both corporate and personal income tax statewide, and they've been successful in doing that in the long session now 2 years ago. And so the approach that's being taken is to reduce the tax burden statewide. We, as this process began, North Carolina had the highest tax rates in the Southeast for both corporate and personal income tax. And so the decision was made to try to reduce that, which I think we all would agree is a good thing. In doing so, it became necessary to evaluate all of the unique tax credits that existed in the law. Because the way our tax codes were written, obviously, if you look at total tax burden and total tax revenues available to the state, that includes both the taxes brought in as well as the credits that are given to specific industries. And so when you take a more across-the-board approach, you have to look at all the tax credits on the book. And film credits were one of those. So it's not been an effort to single out a specific industry, but to look at all the tax credits out there and say, as we reduce tax rates, can we continue to offer these? And the decision was made very early on that the tax credits would not be extended beyond the sunset. Now, there were a lot of efforts made to do that, but ultimately the decision was made in this last legislative period not to extend those credits. But what was offered was a branch program for this industry to continue to encourage larger and longer-term investment in film development in the state. You might remember that the governor's budget included a grant program. It was a bit more robust than what was ultimately passed, and it was funded at a higher level than what was passed.
Right.
But the governor wanted to include a grants program for the industry because we felt like we did need a tool. Even with reducing overall tax rates and cost of doing business in North Carolina, we would need an additional tool. And so ultimately what was passed was a grants program, which you know we have just put the guidelines out, but not with a great amount of funding, just $10 million. That's a lot of money, but compared to what has been invested in industry, a much smaller amount.
Secretary Decker, if I may, you were actually very vocal in your support of the film industry early on, and there was a report that came out, the Roadmap for Jobs, that identified film as one of the target industries for growth in the state.
Yes.
And with this current $10 million grant fund, people have been doing the math, and it's not so difficult to figure out that a couple of major projects coming in will eat up most of that grant fund.
That's right. My hope is that in this legislative session that fund will be appropriated in a larger amount. I do think that one of the reasons that we didn't get a larger sum was that the legislators wanted us to get the guidelines in place. They wanted to understand what the impact would be. And my hope would be that we could we would encourage the increasing of that funding as we move forward. But you're right, it's a significant change in the funding amount comparatively, and I think it's something we've got to stay focused on.
So you're saying that once this program gains some traction among legislators, that it's possible it could be funded more robustly?
I think that is a possibility. That would be my hope. Of course, all of funding for these types of things depends on state revenues and how we're doing. The good news is the economy is growing again, and job creation numbers are up, and that all points in a positive direction. So I am hopeful.
And you also alluded to Governor McCrory's plan. He put forth his own revamped version initially. Why do you think that didn't garner any serious traction in the General Assembly?
Well, I think it all came down to state revenues and making choices about what could be funded or what wouldn't be funded. And I just think in the end, there had to be some really hard decisions made with having to make cuts in lots of places.
Some people have suggested that the reason the tax rebate version of the incentive did not get renewed is because this area and the western part of the state, which is also heavily impacted by the film industry, didn't do a very good job of selling the economic story to the rest of the state. Is that true, or is there a deeper resistance to the industry in the state?
I don't think that's true. I think there is a shift in the approach to a tax reform to try to reduce tax rates statewide, as opposed to a strategy of having higher tax rates and then offering tax credits to specific industries or types of businesses. I think that is a strategic shift that has taken. And so in my conversations with legislators, it wasn't a focus so much on a specific industry. It's just a shift in strategy around tax reform in the state. Quite honestly, if you look at film, it is statewide. I just left an event in Winston-Salem, which has had a tremendous amount of film activity in the state. Certainly the Wilmington area, your area, is one of the most significant because of the invested capital in film in your region. I live in the western part of the state where film has been a very important part of that economy. I think that one thing that we've got to continue to stay focused on for the industry is capital infrastructure in the state. And we have other tools that can help us with that, like the Job Development Investment Grant, which we hope to be refunded in this session. As studios want to build in the state, we can use that grant fund as a tool also. So I would say don't be discouraged. We must stay the course. This is an industry that's really important to North Carolina. We're growing great filmmakers in the state, and we want them to stay in the state. And that means we're going to have to continue to do some work.
And as you know, there is quite a crew base here in Wilmington.
There is.
And you may also know that since the incentive changed, there's been a palpable sort of mourning period going on here. People are looking at Atlanta. They're looking at New Orleans. Aside from leaving North Carolina, what advice would you give to a film worker who lives here and has this highly specialized set of skills?
I think that the important thing is to stay engaged. We're pleased that Under the Dome is going to be staying. We know that the grants program can be used for a lot of projects, and we're getting a lot of interest in the grants program. And as you say, there'll be a limited number that will qualify because of the sheer sum that we have here to work with. But to stay connected and stay engaged in these projects that are here, and I would say stay engaged in the political process. Talk with your legislators about the importance of this in your economy. Make your voice heard and do it in positive and constructive ways because a part of it is education and a part of it is being open to a different way to go about this, because I do think the grants approach will be the one better received. But I do think it is a viable tool if appropriately funded. So two things, stay positive, stay constructively involved. Engage with your legislators to be sure they understand, and then communicate statewide with legislators so that they have the facts and understand the importance of this industry. I personally will be leaving this job at the end of the year, but this is an issue that I want to particularly and personally stay involved in. I think it's important to North Carolina.
And you're actually going to a media company, aren't you?
I am. Actually going to a firm, Murray Media, that's involved in preservation of film, restoration of film, both for the film industry as well as for television news stations as well. So, I'm choosing to engage in this industry. I always say North Carolina is a manufacturing state, but we need a diversity of industries, and having plenty of work in the arts is incredibly important to us.
And do you think that film people will find a friend to the industry in John Skvarla?
Indeed, they will. I think John understands the importance of the industry to the state and the importance of staying engaged in it. So John is already very much aware of the work that has gone on in North Carolina and the importance of it.
Well, Secretary Decker, we thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for covering it.
That was North Carolina Secretary of Commerce Sharon Decker talking about how the legislative conversation has evolved over film incentives in the state. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're taking a closer look at the state of the film industry in North Carolina. Coming up after the break, we'll welcome Johnny Griffin from the Wilmington Regional Film Commission. He joins us to talk about how film companies are reacting to the new incentive program and what's on the horizon. We'll also take your phone calls. Do you work in the film industry? Are you considering a move to another state? Do you think the revamped film incentive is a boon for taxpayers? Give us a call, 910-343-1138, or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. This is Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're talking about the business of film in North Carolina, how the industry is responding to the new grant fund incentive package, and what effect the shift will have, is having, on the economy of the Cape Fear region. Joining me in the studio now to explore those questions, he's the director of the Wilmington Regional Film Commission, Johnny Griffin. Welcome to Coastline.
Thanks, Rachel. Glad to be here.
You're invited to join the discussion. If you have a question or a comment about film in North Carolina, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also send an email to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. Johnny Griffin, we just listened to an interview with Secretary of Commerce Sharon Decker. Were you surprised by her support of the film industry?
No, Secretary Decker has always been very supportive of the industry. She came out very early on when she first came into office and was very supportive of it, has always worked to try and help us. Obviously, she's working within an administration and can only do so much. I think she was right on the mark as far as sort of what happened and how things progressed, what the overarching issues are here. She didn't necessarily offer any solutions, but I think she just sort of recapped what has happened, and I think that's exactly where we are.
And she did explain we've now gone from a tax rebate to a grant fund that has $10 million in its coffers. And as we all know, or many of us have looked at this and said, a couple of major projects, that's gone. She admits that. Just for comparison, what will we have paid out in 2014 versus this $10 million that we'll pay out in at least the first half of 2015?
From what I know at this point, I think the anticipated revenues this year to the state as far as qualified expenditures from productions will probably be somewhere around $300 million. And so if you take 25% of that, that is what the expected payout would be. It's not necessarily in this calendar year because some of these productions may not file for 1 or 2 or 3 years, but that's the qualified amount that would be earned this year. There's another amount that would actually be paid out, and some of that is from previous years. So revenue puts out those numbers every year. Soon after the first of the year, I'm sure they'll have a report to show where we are. But going forward with the $10 million grant program, then that's all we have to work with. And when you incentivize at a rate of 25%, then you're looking at being able to incentivize only $40 million in production, where, again, this year, I just mentioned, we're looking at close to $300 million in production. So you can see the difference.
So some people have been using Under the Dome, the CBS TV series that's renewed its commitment to this area for season three. And some people say that's evidence. See, the film incentive isn't the only reason productions shoot here. It's our wonderful studios and our film crew and all the other infrastructure that we have. Is Under the Dome's decision to stay for another season an anomaly?
You know, the situation with Under the Dome is completely different than, say, recruiting a new production. They were a production that had been here, so they've established locations. That certainly factors into it some. They've got sets that they have built. They've got crew that they've hired that they like. And so the decision for them is, do we move the show, which certainly has a cost factor to it? Do we change the look of the show? So it's a different decision for them. It's a different set of criteria that they use to make that decision as to whether or not they would stay. I think the real question is looking at a new piece of business that's trying to decide between two or three different locations, is North Carolina now an option that they would consider at a reduced incentive? Because all things are equal for them. They're looking at two or three different states. They're not invested in any of those. They're just making a decision, where are we going to take this project? Where are we going to go? And for a show like Under the Dome, based on their historical spending patterns, they would qualify for about an $8 to $9 million incentive. And that's roughly what they would be able to get in any other state that we're competing with right now. So for a new production that was in that same scenario, you're looking at getting $8 to $9 million in another state or getting $5 million in North Carolina. How are you going to make the decision? And, you know, most productions that we speak to will say when the difference is that great, they can't afford to come here. There's just no way.
What are you hearing now from prospects?
They're shocked initially that North Carolina has done this because we've been in the industry for so long. There are many other states that have fallen by the wayside in this incentive situation that we find ourselves in. States that got into the business that had no reason to get into the business. States that did not have studios, they didn't have crews, but they just threw an incentive down and said, let's see if we can recruit the industry. North Carolina had everything to back that up, to support it. We had the crew, we had the infrastructure. And so they really are surprised to see that we are one of the ones that have sort of folded and said that we're not going to continue in this business. They still like our crews. They still like our stages, our weather, everything that we have here. And they are hopeful that we will see a way to correct this and that we will be able to get the business back again, because they want to be here. They find it easier to do business here. Most of our competing states, they're not saying that those are places that they really want to go and do business. They just find themselves having to go there to do business based on the incentives.
Why aren't our, when I think of our competing states, I think of Georgia and Louisiana, places that do have infrastructure and offices and film crew. Why would someone stay loyal to North Carolina if those states are, you know, they can replicate our look, they have a lot of the assets that we have built in here? Why would someone stay loyal to North Carolina?
A couple of reasons. I would say number one is just our crew base here. Our crew base has been around here for 30 years. They're very loyal. They're well-trained. A lot of these other states, the crew is very new. They're young. They're not as dedicated. And so what we hear from producers when they go to these other states is that it's harder to find dedicated crew, well-trained crew. The North Carolina crews, they say that they will take anywhere in the United States to work because they value what these people contribute. Also, we've got a studio complex that has been here for a long time, owners that have had a studio for many years and understand the business. Some other places you go to, you may have a studio that's brand new. Maybe it doesn't have management that is really aware of the industry or knows how it operates. And so things just don't run as smooth. So I think what they find in Wilmington is just a history of doing business here, and it's a well-oiled machine. You drop in here, and it's a town that accommodates the industry, where some of these other places, they're still going through growing pains.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the new film grant fund and what could be on the horizon for the film industry in the Cape Fear region. Joining us in studio today, Johnny Griffin, director of the Wilmington Regional Film Commission. If you have a question for Johnny Griffin, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us using CoastlineHQR. And Johnny Griffin, you've alluded to other states, what they're doing. How is the national conversation changing? There was just news yesterday that a bill is headed to the governor's desk in Michigan to reinstate a 25% tax rebate there. But New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is saying, I'm not a fan of film incentives, don't know how I'm going to react. A House committee in Georgia, where they have a huge film industry, is talking about ways to lure more post-production work to the state. Louisiana has an Entertainment Industry Development Advisory Commission, and they're looking at reducing the dependence on these tax credits and incentivizing the development of what they're calling an indigenous self-supporting industry. Which way is it going? Is it a thumbs up or a thumbs down on film incentives, or are we coming up with more creative ideas?
I think each state has to look at what works for them. Most of the states that we've seen pull out of the incentive situation with film production are states that didn't really have a strong industry to begin with. And so I think it was a logical decision for them when they were looking at the industry and realizing that the majority of the crew that was working there that were they were getting tax incentives based on their salaries were not residents of the states. A lot of the equipment that was being used for the productions was not coming from local vendors in the state. And so those states, I think, made the right decision and said, this is not a business for us. Those that are in it, that are really sincere about it, are Georgia, Louisiana, North Carolina, historically. And so I think those are the states that have said, okay, this business is working for us. We've got a lot of employees that live here that are part of our culture. We've got businesses that have started to develop here. Georgia and Louisiana have seen a huge number of industries, support service industries that have moved there, either from other states or new companies that have sprouted up there to support the industry, and they've grown that. And that's where we weren't quite there in North Carolina. You've got to have this program around for some time to get the business, to see some sustainability. And once you have that, then you can really start to grow it with these other vendors and see it increase.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about film in North Carolina now that the incentive has fundamentally changed. With us in studio, Johnny Griffin of the Wilmington Regional Film Commission. If you have a question for him, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. Sheila, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I got a question for Johnny, and I don't know if he'll know for sure. But, you know, now that the working draft is out for the grant, my main question is, are they involving the film industry, the film experts who completely understand the film industry and production companies? Are they involving them with drafting this grant?
They're certainly asking for feedback from some of those folks within the industry, various production companies and production executives. They're certainly asking for their comments and their feedback. I can't say, you know, I'm not directly involved in the process to know how they'll respond to some of that. I think we could all look at it and decide the areas where there need to be some changes. But I think the question for most of them right now is, you know, if this is the new mechanism that we have, is it workable? Are there any unforeseen circumstances that are going to be created here that we're not aware of? Folks certainly may not like everything that's in it, but I think we have to look at it's what we have for right now, and so we have to figure out how to make it as best we can to move forward with it.
That's a great question. Thanks so much for your call, Sheila. We also have Randy from Southport. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air. And is this hello?
Hello.
Hi, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you. I live in Myrtle Beach, and I just caught your program. I listen to your station frequently, and I have a question for your guest. Just from a kind of a philosophical point of view, given the change in North Carolina's government's sort of conservative ideals, what would his answer be to the following question? Someone would say, you know, the market is supposed to decide which state and what production sites and values are the best for a movie to be produced. So why should we give any incentives? Because if North Carolina offers the best combination of value, well, then people will choose it. Now, that's not necessarily my opinion, but I'm curious what his answer is to that question.
Johnny Griffin?
Sure. I would say that, you know, for us, North Carolina was actually one of the states that was kind of late getting into the incentive situation with film productions. We started with the incentive several years ago, and quickly we got outpaced by other states. We then had to up ours to sort of stay in competition with those. Our incentive is not the richest one that's out there. There are other states that are certainly much greater. And we've always looked at that in North Carolina and said, you know, we don't need to offer what these other states are offering because we have built-in incentives here with the crew, the infrastructure, the weather, the climate, the cost of doing business here overall. So we've always tried to keep our incentive a little bit lower. And quite honestly, it makes it a little bit more difficult for us to sell it sometimes when we go to Los Angeles because some of our clients just quickly look at the numbers and say 30% versus 25%. But very quickly, when we start to mention all of these other items, then they see that actually our 25% can compete with what we have in these other states.
And now we have Randy from Southport. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. My question is, do you think that the formation of the Cucaloras Film Festival and how it draws more and more producers from across the whole United States and the world to North Carolina, southeastern North Carolina, and the Wilmington area has helped in film production in seeing that we are a viable area to for the area to grow in film production?
Absolutely. You know, Cucaloras is part of the film industry here. It's a different part of the film industry, but I think what it shows our clients is that we have a community here that appreciates film. We appreciate different types of film. We appreciate viewing film. And so for them to be able to see a world-renowned festival such as Cucaloras just gives them another reason to understand what makes Wilmington successful.
Randy, thanks so much for your call. And wasn't Cucaloras founded by film industry professionals who came here 20 years ago and said, hey, we want sort of a creative sandbox to play in?
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of folks in this town that make their living day to day in the film industry, working in different technical positions. But their real passion is trying to make their own films and to show their own films. And they work their day job to be able to make the money to make their projects or to make the connections where they can then ask people for favors to come and work on their projects. And so it all goes hand in hand very well.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the new film grant fund and how it could impact the Cape Fear region's economy and what Johnny Griffin with the Wilmington Regional Film Commission is hearing out and about. If you have a question for Johnny Griffin, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us using CoastlineHQR. And Johnny Griffin, Secretary Decker, as well as Governor McCrory, they've both alluded to the notion of long-term jobs and building infrastructure here as an incentive for film production companies. Is that putting the cart before the horse?
It is. It is, Rachel. In that, you know, what we've got to be able to see here is film companies coming in for the long term. We've got to have clients that come here and do projects and then decide to bring more projects. We've got to have projects that or television series that come in for their first year, their second year, keep getting renewed. And next thing you know, we have shows like One Tree Hill that are here for many years. But they're only going to come here if they can see longevity, if they can see a program that will sustain itself. Most television productions tell us they can't even look at a state unless they have an incentive that goes 3 years into the future because they can't afford to bring a series there for just 1 year and then have the rug pulled out from under them. And so we've got to take a little bit more of a long-term view if we want this long-term investment.
And speaking of that, one of the, I think, sought-after kinds of productions is a television series because that could theoretically come back season after season after season. But Sleepy Hollow is going to Atlanta for season 3. Can you confirm that?
Can't confirm where they're going. There's been different cities that they have looked at, and there's lots of discussion regarding that. So I'm sure soon the word will get out as exactly where they will be. But obviously for them, it's a decision that is financial. Just like with Under the Dome, they had to make a decision. They ran the numbers, and it worked for them to be able to stay here. We saw a show in the Charlotte area earlier this year, Banshee, that left, and they have gone elsewhere. Again, they had to run the numbers and see what worked for them financially. So, you know, it goes to show that, again, it is part of the decision-making process. Just because they've come here and have been here for 1, 2, 3 years doesn't mean that they can't quickly pick up and move and go to the next place that's going to work for them. Some people don't like that aspect of it, and they complain about the fact that these are temporary jobs and that they can pick up and go anywhere, that's the nature of this business. It is going to go somewhere. We can benefit from it if we can get them to come here.
We have just a couple minutes before we go to break. I want to take this call. Will, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. Johnny, I have a question. With this new grant, I have a small special effects company here in Wilmington, and I've been in Wilmington supporting the film industry since 1989, and I'm just curious, is this grant going to be able to sustain work for everybody in our region, or are we going to have to go elsewhere to find work?
That's a great question, Johnny Griffin.
It affects a lot of North Carolina families, and we're very concerned about it.
What do you say to a film technician like Will?
Yeah, you know, we know that the current grant program, I think you've got to look at two things. You've got to look at what is the actual mechanism of the incentive. Is it a tax credit? Is it a grant? Right now we have a new program, which is going to be a grant program. So the mechanism itself can work. There are grant programs in other states that are successful. They're not the desired program. They're not the most effective program. If you look at the states that are doing the most amount of business, they are not grant programs, but they can be made to work. The bigger question is how well the grant program is funded. And so we know that initially for the first part of 2015, we only have $10 million in the grant. So we're hoping to extend that, and then we'll be more successful.
Well, thanks so much for your call. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking about film in North Carolina, how the new grant fund is resonating around the film community. If you have a question for Johnny Griffin of the Wilmington Regional Film Commission, give us a call, 910-343-1138, or email us at coastline@whqr.org. We'll be back in 90 seconds. You're listening to Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. And with me in the studio once again, Johnny Griffin of the Wilmington Regional Film Commission. We're talking about the new film incentive, a $10 million grant fund, and how film industry leaders in the state are working to keep productions here and encourage new productions to come. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us using coastline@HQR. Johnny Griffin, Secretary Decker, the Secretary of Commerce, has also talked about legislators in Raleigh getting used to the guidelines around this. In other words, we want to see this thing work, and then we might fund it more robustly. What sorts of guidelines is Secretary Decker talking about? What needs to be proven to Raleigh legislators to put more in the coffers than $10 million?
You know, I think the biggest thing for the state, as Secretary Decker alluded to, was just tax reform and how that was going to work. And so to be able to do that, they needed to take care of all of these special incentives that were there. And so we were told the easiest thing to do was to create this grant program to still be able to do something for the film industry. So I think last year it was about creating the mechanism and trying to get that right. We're hopeful that this next year the issue will be more about funding it to a certain level that we can use to be more effective. You know, again, the guidelines, we're certainly providing some feedback. I think there's some areas where we can tweak it a little bit. I think there were some unintended consequences, which always happens with any legislation.
Well, when you say tweak it a little bit, what do you mean? What do we need to tweak besides the amount of money that's in the pot?
I think there's some things that need to be looked at as far as the caps that are on, that productions can earn, some of the qualifying expenses. Some of the criteria is a little bit unclear right now as far as awarding incentives or awarding grants to projects that make permanent improvements in downtown areas. Film companies don't do that. You know, film companies that may want to film in more depressed areas of the state. Again, we're not going to find a film company that's going to go to a part of the state that has no film-related resources, which indeed will then cost them more money to make a project just to try and get the incentive. And so, you know, how much will those things be used in the awarding process? We just don't know yet. So I think part of this is a little bit of trial and error for the first few months here to kind of go through this process and see how it works.
Well, is it possible that the economic story just doesn't really translate statewide, and it's only areas like the Cape Fear region and the western part of the state who see the film trucks and who have small businesses springing up in response to the film industry who really see the benefit, and the rest of the state just sees this drain from the state coffers?
Absolutely. I know that is a problem that we have faced time and time again, is that filmmaking, even though it has taken place in about 70 to 80 counties out of the 100 that exist in North Carolina, and this year alone, I mean, we had films shooting all across the state. So the benefit is out there, but it's not as permanent of a benefit in a lot of these areas, and so you don't see the long-term impact. And some of the legislators, I think, you know, they're looking out for their constituents, they're looking out for their area, and if they don't see a direct benefit from the film industry, then they think it's something that is Wilmington-centric or something that affects only the Charlotte area. But I think, you know, let's look at other programs that exist in the state and other things that the state is involved in, and there are certain areas that are known for certain assets, and those things are strong. Other areas have other things that are important to them. And so I think, you know, the thing about the film industry is that it is spread across a good bit of North Carolina. It's not going to be in all 100 counties to the level that it is in New Hanover County. It's just not possible. But film companies from here can certainly travel across the state and go anywhere to work.
So then with that in mind, Johnny Griffin, could you stand up in front of a group of citizens, say, in the middle part of the state that don't usually see film activity in their area and say to them, you bar owner, you florist, you bus driver, you should be putting some of your hard-earned tax money into the coffers to fund these activities that happen more often in the eastern and western parts of the state? Could you make that argument?
Well, first off, I wouldn't be asking them to put their hard-earned tax dollars in the coffers to pay for this, because the Film Incentive Program generates taxes from the film productions that come here. So the workers pay income tax, sales tax, accommodations taxes, all the taxes that are generated by the productions being here. You know, I would tell folks in the other part of the state that, you know, even though you may not see film in your backyard, I'm sure there's something in that county that they benefit from that we don't see in New Hanover County. You know, agriculture is not huge in this particular part of the state, specifically in New Hanover County, but there are parts of this state where that's what drives the economy. So, you know, that is something that is important to them, and there's money that goes into those areas to support those efforts. Film is important here, and so money goes in to support the film industry. And overall, across all 100 counties, it balances out.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the new film grant fund and what could be on the horizon for the film industry in the Cape Fear region. Joining us in studio today, Johnny Griffin of the Wilmington Regional Film Commission. If you have a question for Johnny Griffin, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. Larry, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Yeah, I've been in the film industry for a while. The question I've got for Johnny is, my understanding is, the plan that we had before, rebates were made after the money was paid in from the production companies. The new grant program, is that coming out of the general fund?
Johnny Griffin?
Yes, I believe so. I mean, and the other program, too, you know, even though taxes were generated by the productions that were here, the fund was still set up and was funded through the general fund. So, you know, this money is money that has been allocated by the legislature. It's $10 million put into a fund for the grant program. Film productions will still be generating taxes, and that will still be going in to offset those costs.
Thanks so much for your call, Larry. And I think Larry went to the heart of this economic nut that's been difficult for state lawmakers to crack in other states as well. In Louisiana, the subsidy program covers 30% of a film's local costs. Last year, 107 projects qualified for help from Louisiana taxpayers. That was an upfront cost to the state of about $250 million. And the idea is that the state would collect income taxes from the people employed on the movies, but highly paid actors, for instance, are often incorporated. The producer contracts the corporation, which in turn hires the actor. So it is something that has to come out of state coffers first. It is an upfront cost to the state. Isn't that right, Johnny Griffin?
Well, again, different states work in different ways. I saw the articles, too, about Louisiana and how they were concerned that maybe they were missing tax revenue especially from some of the highly paid individuals and the actors. In North Carolina, the way the system has always been set up is the Department of Revenue comes in and does an audit. And one thing they're looking for is to make sure that all taxes have been collected in advance. And so to claim an individual's salary as an expense in North Carolina, you have to show that the taxes have been paid for that and have been collected. Sometimes we've gotten into issues where somebody says, well, I'm going to file exempt in North Carolina, or I'm not going to pay in North Carolina. And the state says, that's really not our issue. The issue is, if you want an incentive on these wages, we have to see right now that the taxes are paid in advance. They may get paid twice because the production may pay and then the individual may come back and file later. But North Carolina is always going to make sure that we collect the tax revenue up front.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about the new film grant fund. Tom from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi, Rachel. This is a great, great program. It's something I've been concerned about for a while.
Thank you.
I own a small business here in Wilmington, and we're frequented quite regularly by the movie industry. And a couple years ago, when Iron Man 3 and Tammy and a number of other productions were filming here, they spent about $30,000 at our business that season. And we were able to make some major upgrades to our business because of that money that they spent there. We sent the money, you know, out to the contractors that did the work. They sent that portions of that money home to their families. They went to the grocery stores and frequented other businesses here. And, you know, that's sort of a comment to one of the callers a little bit earlier about wondering why we would want to do this to the film industry, give them these incentives to come here. And I think that really shows that the movie industry is good for all of this area.
Well, Tom, if the film industry over the next 12 months really takes a dip, how is that going to affect your business?
We've already seen a lot less people in spending from the movie studios. It's been a pretty big dip in what they have come in with as far as finances for us. And second comment on that I've heard on this from a number of people over at the movie studios is that the governor, Pat McCrory, was apparently heavily financed, from what I have heard from several people over there, not just one source, by the family that owns Chick-fil-A, and apparently they own the new movie studio that's going up outside of Atlanta, or at least the land that it's on. And, you know, is this payback for the family now that they financed McCrory and he's been elected governor? I mean, I've not heard a word about this anywhere other than from a number of people at the movie studio.
Right, and Tom, this is a rumor, and I see Johnny Griffin nodding too. This is a rumor that has been circulating for quite a while. There have been blog posts about it, and I think that you haven't heard anything in the news because it's something nobody's been able to corroborate. So Johnny Griffin, is that anything more than urban legend?
Like you say, I mean, I've not seen any hard facts on it. I've not seen anybody dig into it and connect the dots to say that it really has happened. It's just chatter that's out there. I'm aware of it. I've heard of it. But again, I don't have any facts to support it. As far as Tom's other comment regarding the local small businesses, you know, that's one thing a lot of people don't realize is that when the film industry comes into town, they spend most of their money with just local small businesses. Other large industry that's in the area may rely on a lot of outside manufacturers or outside suppliers to provide whatever they need in their manufacturing process. The film industry, they come in and they need clothing, so they go to local clothing stores and buy it. They're going to build a set, much like this studio that we're in, and they need furniture, they need carpet, they need paint.
Have you heard, Johnny Griffin, of any small businesses that might be picking up and moving to another state because they're looking down the barrel of losing their biggest clients?
I've not heard of small businesses picking up and moving because most of the small businesses are ones that are here with some roots in the area and have been here. Obviously, I've heard some of these folks say, though, that they will have to lay off people mm-hmm. because they have a certain part of their business which is made up from the film industry. And if that revenue is missing, they've got to make cuts as well.
John, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi, this is John.
Hi, John. Welcome to Coastline.
How are you?
Good, thanks. Do you have a question?
Yeah, basically, I worked in the movie industry here in the early 90s when it was still kind of fledgling. And one thing I really noticed that they were not a lot of local hires. They were union guys coming in from, you know, New York or California that got these jobs and had to sit out of the front gate for weeks just to get somebody to look at me to just be a laborer. And I know that's changed. I know that's grown. And just kind of the other thing, and this playing devil's advocate, I'm kind of pro-movie, but to claim to be a clean industry, and these actors, Leonardo DiCaprio, big environmentalists, these sets go and they get destroyed as huge waste. And I don't see that as being very clean. I'd just like to hear your comments on that.
Thanks so much for your call, John. Johnny Griffin?
Sure. As far as the local crew, you know, things have changed during the years. In the early days here, the majority of the crew was from out of town, because when this industry was started here, it wasn't started based on a crew that existed. It was based on a producer who came here and built a facility and started training crew.
And this was a craft that people had to learn.
Exactly. Now we're at the point where the majority of these shows are here, are hiring local individuals, and not just in bottom-level positions, but, I mean, in top-level positions, producers, department heads. That's one of the things that we're known for in Wilmington, is that we have those different folks in those positions. So, you know, we're very fortunate that we have that now. You know, as far as the set construction goes, the studios, the major studios in California that come here to do work are becoming more green in what they do. They try and salvage as much stuff as they can now. They try and reuse certain things if they can. So it's taken time, but like every other industry, everybody's sort of looking internally now and trying to determine how can we be more green in what we're doing.
Johnny, as we look at this $10 million grant fund, and we know in the near term anyway, there's already a drop-off. There's already an obvious drop-off in film business in the state. What advice would you give a crew person who's spent years developing this special set of skills? Does he or she need to move to Louisiana or Georgia in the short term?
You know, the film industry people have always traveled and have worked out of town from time to time. I think what we know is that in the first 6 months of 2015, it will be slower here and across the state, and there will not be as much work as we have seen in the past. What we are hopeful of is that with the legislature coming back in January and with them setting up this grant program, that there will be a willingness to look at this program and to see what we can do to increase the funding to it. And so that's what we're certainly going to be working on at that point in time, seeing if we can increase the level of funding. If we can get the level of funding up to a reasonable amount that is close to what we've been using in years past, then I don't think it's going to make a huge difference whether it's the grant mechanism or the tax credit mechanism. Ultimately, you know, one may work a little bit better than the other, but the biggest issue is just having the right amount of money in that grant program. So I think long term, we're optimistic, and we hope that things will turn, but we've got to wait and see as we get into that with the legislature.
And briefly, Secretary Decker alluded to the Job Development Investment Grant as one of the possible tools in the toolbox for this. We just have a couple minutes left. Can you tell us briefly how the JDIG mechanism could play into the film incentive business?
Yeah, I think what I took away from her comments were that maybe that was something that we should look at as a model, not saying that JDIG itself would actually be used for the film industry, but that would be a model where we would recruit more long-term industry into the state. But again, most of the film industry are the individual projects that come here. The more long-term industries that are here are not the ones that provide the bulk of the jobs. The bulk of the jobs are the individual productions.
Okay, 30 seconds. Tell us something we don't know. Can you give us a peek behind the legislative curtain? What are some of the conversations that are going to be happening?
You know, I think what we're going to be doing again is trying to stress to folks that this is real as far as what has happened as a result of the change in this program. This was not a minor tweak that just might have had a minor impact on the industry. It's had a major impact on the industry, and so we need to be able to change it quickly if we're going to come back and be successful.
Will there be a conversation in this next legislative session about it?
There will be from our side, for sure, and we're going to engage them as much as we can.
That's this edition of Coastline. I'd like to thank Johnny Griffin of the Wilmington Regional Film Commission for joining us today. Thanks to you, our listeners, those of you who called in, your comments. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Join us next week, December 17th. It's our holiday food show. Local chefs will offer their creative ideas on holiday dishes, even advice on culinary head scratchers. Here on HQR News 91.3 FM, Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Our producer is Ken Campbell. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.